Unpaved, Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.
To me, Tom Brady is the GOAT because he's done more with less than any player at that position we've ever had.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Unpaved. He is Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. A lot to talk about today. Sean, I hope you bet your over last night. I had so much to do with the kids, I forgot to bet, and luckily I didn't because I was going to take the Lakers, and they shit the bed against the Wembanyama-less.
Somebody's freezing. Spurs. If it's me, there you go.
Yeah, so Lakers beat the Spurs last night. I did not bet it. I hope you bet the over because there was zero defense. Play.
I told you. What was the final, Six? What was the final?
119. So what did we hit? 151 there?
251.
Or 251, yeah, excuse me.
I said it would be in the high 240s when it said 240 and a half or 241. So yeah, I bet it. Come on, man.
Yeah, you know better than
that. Just, that was a no-brainer on the over. That's four straight, brother. Five in a row.
So if you're listening, when we do our bet of the day for Thursday Night Football later, listen to Sean because he's on a heater. Sean, big new college football job opening. Sharon Moore out at Michigan. This time it's behind-the-scenes stuff with an inappropriate relationship with a staffer. I had heard whispers of Sharon Moore being out soon. I kind of hinted at it here on the show throughout, like, you know, messing around with Lincoln Riley and stuff like that, but I hadn't been able to confirm anything. I just talked to a couple buddies up there towards Ann Arbor that were telling me stuff, and I didn't know what to believe because there's so many different rumors out there about everybody that you never know what to believe. But Sharon Moore out, and we have another major college football opening available.
Yeah, it's a pretty good one, too, needless to say. Now, Segs, we're going to be right here and hear all, and we'll get to JB here in just a sec. It'd be great to have Coach JB on. I know we missed him on Monday. We'll get him back on Monday next week too, but he'll be fired up today about this and some Burrow stuff and a lot of stuff going on in the league. But real quick with this, there's going to be so much speculation. So much of me wants to jump at this, and I'm going to, but I'm also very cautious, not cautious for me, cautious either not to bury in, to protect the gal, to protect him, depending on how much this. We know he's been arrested, right? That we know. We know that he's been fired. We know Michigan's looking for a new head coach. I don't know about the speculation that the woman's pregnant, unless that's been validated from the time I got it.
I have not seen that.
I'm assuming that with all these people throwing stuff up of pictures, that this is a Chicago Bears executive scout. Yes.
That
also works in the Michigan football offices that Sharon Moore's had a relationship with. We know that, right? What we don't know is, one, if the pregnancy is just talk, if how deep the relationship went. But there's something wrong because whether it's with the ex-wife and if there's something that happened with them, with there was a dust-up, I'll leave it at that, Segs. If him saying he threatened to kill himself, that's why the cops went after him. You don't arrest guys that just were having an affair. I don't say just had. Obviously, it's serious stuff. And they fired him for cause, which means not going to get a dime unless there's a lawsuit. And we'll see how long that happens. But fired, all the speculation. And now the gal's name's out there. The dad's sitting there and probably had a pretty close relationship as a scout with a Michigan football coach. the embarrassment, all the stuff that goes with it. But trying to be fair to the gal, and her name is Paige, and I guess we can say, I always hate this, Segs, until we know all of it. But
right.
And so, but when you engulf in that, you have to know, especially when you're overage, she's not underage, so you don't have to protect the name. She's overage. And I know it's a two-way street, but guys don't get arrested for having affairs with of-age women. So there is something else that's gone on, whether it was breaking the law somewhere, whether there was some sort of domestic dispute, whether threatening to kill yourself gets the, if that is true, all the speculation of him saying that gets the law on you. The bottom line is he's been arrested and he is no longer the coach at Michigan. And the story will obviously continue to expand, Segs, unless you know something different since we've come on air.
Yeah, no, it's just so he was fired around noon.
Yeah,
from AD Ward Manuel yesterday. Yep. And then went right to the staffer's house, broke into the house per reports, grabbed a knife, held it to his own throat, but also threatened to kill her by reports. So that's where the assault comes in with the threatening to kill her. And then
that's why he's arrested and all this stuff. Yes. But we know this is true. That's why, Segs, I wanted you to read the article that was going on, why he was detained, because it wasn't Jay, it wasn't the wife and him situation.
No.
It was the person, the mistress or the affair he had with Paige. That's
he was held in Washtenaw County Jail last night, still in custody today. And I just saw he will be arraigned tomorrow. So
great.
Still plenty to go before we figure some things out.
And listen, we will unload on this, when you know all. That's why I'm so kind of Segs. Everybody jumps on this. And then the next thing you know, it's the wrong girl. The next thing you know, somebody else is pregnant. The next thing you know, it was the wife that he broke it. We do know this. It's been confirmed by more than one source.
Yes.
That it was the mistress's place. He went in, threatened, then the domestic. That's why, because initially when it happened, all of us were thinking, well, why is the guy who's having an affair get arrested? Well, obviously, and there will be more layers to this story. And if all this happened, and here's the thing that concerns, and we'll bring JB in here now, and JB will lead right into you with this. Segs, here's what happens when we go through this. Is I start to look back now, JB, and it's great to have Coach JB on his show. I'm sure there was a lot of this talk, among other stuff, on his show this morning. JB, when I see this, then it takes me back to, okay, if he did this, broke in after all this, threatened to kill himself, was, obviously a threat with a knife to her. How unstable does that make you worry about all the time he's been at Michigan? Because I understand we all have trigger points, but a trigger point to go grab a drink with you and me, if something were to go on, like you get fired, JB, everybody that's been a coach or whatever, we've all been fired at some point or moved on from, cut from a team. I didn't run to somebody's house and want to do that. What we do is you go with your buddy and say, okay, what's up next? So are you concerned at all? Does that make you all the way go back and now start to think, how was he in his private life before we heard about this, JB?
Yeah, I don't know if you can go back now, but going forward, he's probably done coaching forever. That's the unfortunate part about it. I've known Sharon a long time. Good dude.
Did you ever see anything like this with him, Segs, this kind of stuff? I mean, JB?
Nah. I mean, pussy's undefeated, right? So let's cut some bare tacks here. I mean, and then new pussy's even more undefeated. So if you want to really break it down, that's the real issue here. Nothing else more than that. Like, that's where we are, and that's unfortunate. But I've heard crazy rumors. I've heard some crazy rumors all last night and this morning, Sean. So I don't know if that all comes out, and who knows, man, who's really involved in this whole thing. But unfortunately, the kids have to see this on social media and so forth. And I believe he was arrested, too, to protect himself. He's in protective custody and all that type of
stuff. And that was my initial thought with the talk of killing himself before the story gets moved forward is, was the talk of killing himself, is that why he was detained originally? And now we obviously see more layers to the story. Now, JB, do we know, and Segs may have, and I did not see this. I mean, doing a bunch of other stuff, I did not see this part this morning, and maybe I should have, but I did not. is, and so I'm asking somebody who might have, do we know who broke this news behind the scenes yet? Was it her? Is that why he went there? Was it somebody else? Do we know the exact, who was the, well, the caller of this, or the, you know, was it her that went to them? Did somebody just find out and that's caused? Was this going to happen? Was he going to get fired if it wasn't for this? Or is this just the excuse, the carryover? Were they going to get rid of him because Michigan, they want a new coach? Was this the reason? And was it her, do we know, JB, that made this allegation? And Segs may know as well. He's a little closer to that situation.
Well, you know our old man, John? I do. I've known
him. I do. Well, yeah, scout with the Bears. I know who he is. I don't know him personally, but yes, I do.
Yeah, and I've known him a long time, and it's ironic that all this came out. Apparently, what I heard is last night, number one thing that sparked this whole thing from a guy I know on that was on the staff said that he went to an assistant coach, his best friend on the staff, and threatened the whole suicide thing. That sparked the whole thing. Then he went over to her house.
Well, a good friend has to go say something, you know, JB, if you can't do it. Yeah. I mean, if the friend doesn't feel like he can stop it, he has to go make sure – that the guy protects him from himself, no doubt.
Yeah, and then, so I heard that's where I had kind of started and steamrolled from there. This college football year is just getting crazier and crazier. But that happened to start the whole thing, and then apparently she told Dad that he forced her to abort, which sparked.
Yeah, that's the talk of the pregnancy talk has come out, and now. Did he said abort the baby because then nobody will find out type of thing, JB? Is that the trap? Is that the path we're headed down and going to find out about?
Yeah. So, I mean, even that is not a criminal act. So I don't know. I guess they're tying in the public and safety and danger of other people, I guess, by him saying suicide. It puts other folks in harm's way because we've seen so many, you know, murder suicides. So there's that element to it. So I don't know, Sean. At the end of the day, hopefully he can defend himself and say this is a lot of BS, too.
Yeah.
There's always three sides, right, Sean? There's not one, there's not two, but there's three. Sean, here's the point I'm making, though. I just want all the haters out there and everybody that's coming after him pulling up.
And that's why, JB, that's why I'm always, you know, in the past, we just jump in. That's why I'm always so cognizant. You and I, not for this type of reason, but we all, for whatever reason it is, go through, and you have to take a step back and say, wait a minute, people jumped in on a situation that is not true, and we've seen it with a lot of people, and then it comes out and say, well, it wasn't quite that, before we hear the other sides. Whatever it is, it's damaging all the way around to a lot of people, including his family and wife and everybody and teammates, all that stuff, and coaching staff, but I'm always waiting to hear the other side and then the third side before you really dive in and start browbeating somebody. This is not good. It's not a browbeat. It's trying to get the facts straight before you go all in and say, how does this happen? And you talked about it at the top.
Yeah.
Situation's tough, man. Yep.
The issue is like, well, we could all fucking pull up our Instagram followers and who we follow. You guys could. Right. You've had 5 years to do that.
Yep.
Like this guy's been on the staff. Why didn't nobody pull that up? Why is the Lainstein files coming out after? Because the pissed off fan base and pissed off people always have something in their closet that they want to bring out after the fact. But you better be as hard on Bill Belichick as you are on him, because he's chasing 23-year-old cat too. So let's just be honest here. I hate that we live in a social media world where now we want to bring up who he follows. Who cares? But I also want to say, Sharon,
I'm just trying to figure out why that's a problem. You following somebody's not a
because it's model.
Doesn't get you fired, right?
Yeah, well, it's OnlyFans model, Sean. Yeah, he's got a wife. It's crazy how we're on this moral compass, a pedestal now. All these nobodies on social media want to all come out and play the high role like they're so goddamn perfect and good and innocent. It's unbelievable to me. It's sickening to me. But listen, this thing is
I would have a problem though, JB, if he I don't want forced, maybe a little harsh. I would have a problem if the forced part of getting an abortion, while it's not against law, it is a bad look. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whether the abortion, whether they decided together. But to pressure somebody as a subordinate
yeah.
in the building, that becomes a problem as big as any issue not named suicide or threatening somebody else like her with a knife in their own home.
No at that point, he's at the point of no return at that point.
Yes,
that's he's exactly now he's right. now he's now having to try to protect everything. And the problem is, Sean, this is the issue. Like, he's already he already fucked up by going and messing with her. So
right,
that's number one. So right. like once you did that, there's no point of no return on that deal. So he's having to cover up every single lie that he ever made. So now he's just digging a deeper ditch. So I don't know where this ends up, but I don't think it's good for him and his future career in this sport or profession. Unfortunately, we've seen the demise of many this year, and it's unfortunate how it seems to always go back to that pretty pink thing, man. I'm telling you, it's dangerous.
JV, Coach JV, it's at the real coach underscore JV joins us for his weekly visit, normally on Mondays, right around 12:10 Central Time, to discuss and we'll move on from this, JV. But you hit it right out the bat. That now the chance of him being a head coach anymore for people, the trust factor, and now the psychological assessment for safety now comes into play. Aside from the messing with somebody who you're a subordinate of in the building. And the possible pregnancy, and you mentioned abortion and teammates and looking after safety and a knife. And it's a lot of bad layers, and it's probably going to get a little worse for Sherrone Moore before it gets better. And how he deals with it is going to determine. And we're in a nation that forgives, but right now people are in the bashing part of this stage, and it's not going to be easy for him. JB and Bailey or Tripoli, do we have Joe Burrow's comments? I know, so the people hear them. So JB can comment, and if not, I can read them. But if we have that little, if we have the video of Joe Burrow on here, that'd be great. If not, we can just fly through it. First off, what did you think? And here it is. Here's Joe Burrow yesterday speaking to the media about basically the situation.
No, it certainly doesn't change my desire to win. If I want to keep doing this, I have to have fun doing it. I've been through a lot, and if it's not fun, then what am I doing it for? So that's the mindset I'm trying to bring to the table.
How much fun are you having right now? Is it difficult to have fun given the season, what you've been through physically, emotionally, all of it? Is it tough?
Yes, certainly.
Hold on one second.
Did you have fun playing before how much of it was fun before? Have winning's always fun, but in general, was it as fun before you got hurt? Did you view it that way, at least?
No, I wouldn't say I viewed it that way, I think.
What was the changing point?
Changing point. I'm not sure there was a singular moment or of time. It's just a reflection on a lot of things that I've done and been through in my career, I think. And I've been through more than most, and certainly not easy on the brain or the body, so just trying to have fun doing it again.
You seem like there's something on your mind. Or maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you seem frustrated.
There's just a lot of things going on right now. A lot of things going on right now.
Football related, personally?
All of the above.
Well, that's Joe Burrow speaking to the media. That's, I think we get, if we have JB back with us, hopefully. If not, he'll join us in a second. That's the, by far, since Burrow's become a starting player at any level, transfer from Ohio State to LSU, go through his first season at LSU, there was ups and downs, and then late in the season started to come into his own. And then the next year had as great a season offensively and as a team that you will ever see. He's got a new contract. He's been hurt a bunch. He's been banged up. They've had their up and down struggles, or if he doesn't play well, heck, he come back, had him in the game last week. They lost the up and down. It's Cincinnati, the constant contract with other people, stuff you have to go through financially with the Bengals. Coaches, you know, defensive coordinators fired last year. All the speculation in Cincinnati. I haven't, JB, ever seen. I've seen Burrow in a calm, relaxed mode. I haven't seen him in a depressed mode like this. And whether it's football related or both, as he suggested, on and off the field, that he's going through some stuff. I haven't seen him like this. This is as defeated as I've ever seen Joe Burrow through good and bad times, my man.
Man, I don't know what's wrong with these kids, man. These football players are so soft. I'm so tired of these guys. I lost all respect for the guy. Just tell you right now. I don't know.
And he was your favorite quarterback in this league, not named Matt Stafford, correct?
Yep. I no longer want to watch this guy play. Because you and I played the position, Sean. This ain't in our job description for this shit. I'm so tired of this shit. This ain't in our job description. You're the leader no matter what. You lead the parade. You lead the damn troops. Like, what are we doing? And listen, I've known this guy's dad a long time, Sean. I've recruited his dad, taken a lot of players from me. I've recruited his. I've had a relationship with his dad. This cat's just a different kid here, man. It's a different kid. You talking about you've gone through a lot. I feel like cussing so bad on your show, I just don't want to do it. This kid, you've gone through a lot. You went from Ohio State being coddled by a father. Your father's a coach. You've been handed everything. You went from Ohio State to LSU. You won a national title. And it's not like you got shitty wideouts. You got Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. Are you kidding me with this victim stuff? I'm so sorry. This shit got me pissed off today, Sean, on my show. I'm so tired. I can't believe I'm hearing Joe Burrow talk like this. But I am
actually shocked at this too, JB, that I've – and maybe we've gotten used to, well, quarterbacks in situations like that have been through injuries, that have been through losing – have come back and said, no, we're going to get this fixed. I would have expected it from him. Do you believe he's more soft-minded than you thought, JB?
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, and on top of it, you should apologize to your fan base and your organization for being hurt every goddamn year. You're the victim? We put a lot of money in you last time I checked, Sean. They got $70 million in this dude, what, a year with incentives? Like, what are we talking about? Now you're been through a lot. Sean, are the people that you see every day dealing with, maybe the high prices of, groceries and shit like that?
They're
maybe
dealing with life, JB. They're dealing with getting kicked in the teeth. I hear more athletes talk about, from Odell saying $100 million after taxes gets you to $60 million. The fact that he said that in front of people, that 99.9% of the people that heard that will never even sniff seven figures, let alone 60 times over on a contract and more with endorsements. Yeah. I just, when I saw this with Burrow, I thought, okay, maybe it's one thing. And then you keep listening. We wouldn't shock me if we find out something deeper was going on with this. Yeah. Because I've never seen the football Joe Burrow talk like this to the, and I know we are all entitled to having a bad day. But I hate to tell people this, at that position in that role with that money and the expectations, because he's such a good player and what he's done to keep them in games since he's been there with all the injuries, you still can't let that creep in publicly. That doesn't mean you go high if you're going through mental difficulties. Nobody's making fun of, that if somebody has some mental aspects they're going through. But, JB, you almost got to, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, you do have to baffle them with bullshit, right? Because people are watching. There's collateral damage among teammates this happens with, and people like you went from a Joe Burrow lover to a now question his toughness mentally and has become just a guy for you.
Yeah.
How does he get it back?
Well, playing wise, he's still the guy. He's much better than Mahomes. He's much better than fucking Mahomes, according to I'm the jerk in the chat here. Who's obviously a dick writer. Here's the thing. He's much better than Mahomes. He does own Burrowhead, by the way. And the last time I checked, he got a winning record against Burrow, against Mahomes, and that's why we called it Burrowhead. But listen, he don't have a Super Bowl. So at the end of the day, we're going to judge by that. And if you're not going to play, there's already an issue with injury. When he's on the field, he's best quarterback in football, in my opinion, right now. Because Stafford's on the other side. He's older. Burrow has a lot more years ahead of him, so I put him at number one. But having said that, mentally and listening to this shit can turn me off. That doesn't mean he's not the best ball spinner in football. That has nothing to do with this. These two things are totally not associated.
You just hate the optics of it. You think it's a bad look.
Yeah, this is horrible. I'm not. What I said is I'm no longer rooting for Joe Burrow. He can still be the best quarterback, and I can still break him down and say he's the best quarterback. Like, Sean, there's a lot of guys we don't like and say he's the best, or we do like and say he's an asshole.
Okay, let me ask you, JB. At the real coach underscore JB on Twitter, he always has great fire in his belly. JB, if you were coaching with the Cincinnati Bengals nearest position coach, what are you saying to him after this, or are you just letting it go?
Man, that's tough. Like, you and I have been in these rooms.
Yep.
I don't know. First of all, I would look bad, and I would feel some type of way, and I'd be like, what are you doing, man? You make me look bad. Like, this isn't in our job description. What are we doing here? Like, I think coaches and leadership reflects, you know, your performance reflects my leadership, and I think that's the first conversation we're going to have. But, Sean, to be honest, you've been in those rooms. Like, how much impact do those guys have, and how much can they really say to the guy making 70 mil?
Well, like, they can't really say anything. They don't have the power. You have to go to the head coach, and even then the head coach doesn't control what you say because Burrow's the most powerful person in the organization, not named the owner.
No doubt. That's my point.
And that includes the general manager and the head coach. There's no question.
I wouldn't be shocked, though, Sean, now, and I know Zach Taylor real well, JUCO guy himself. I wouldn't be shocked if they start looking at doing some things because that roster needs flipped. Because
they're five players away from being five players away, JB. They're a long ways away.
Their defense is bad, and you have to do so much, and you got all your money tied into three guys, and I don't know what you do. I thought when they got rid of Mixon was the worst thing they could have did for a pass receiving back for a Burrow, like, along with those other two guys. Gilsecki or whatever has gotten decent because Burrow, but other than that, they have no other weapons other than
those two. Would you trade him?
I would look at it right now. Here's the reason why. It sounds crazy, but you're paying this guy to miss more than he plays. And right now, while he came back showing, okay, I got a little bit of fortitude and toughness, I'm going to come back from an injury and play, which I gave him credit for, to come back in a meaningless season, to come back and play, showed me something. But here's what I'm going to say. Your stock's still high right now if I shop you. But if I shop you next year after this thing dies out and you're showing more of this shit, I don't know if his stock will be as high. So I would throw money. I'd call Pete Carroll right now. I'd call Pete Carroll right now, number one.
You don't believe there's any Andrew Luck, I'm done vibes to this, do you?
I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked, though. Nothing shocks me with this generation. Nothing. Like, nothing shocks me anymore. Does it shock you anymore?
With this? No. Matter of fact, I hate to say this, but I expect it. The truth is that's what I've come to expect it, unfortunately. Not from everybody. That's an unfair blanket statement, but it doesn't. If I'd have heard this 20 years ago, I'd be like, what? 15 years ago, JB, I'd have been like, this dude's done. That's the old school thinking. Now you hear it, it's like, oh, this par for the course, that people will get on you for saying what you said because, oh, how dare you get after, you know, somebody who's having some mental struggles during the day. I'm just shocked at the person doing it because I've always known him as mentally tough as anybody. I mean, just from my vantage point, from a distance. So we'll see where that goes. But JB, and with the injuries, then you start to say, man, if you go through another one, what will his value be on a trade market if the Cincinnati Bengals, who have known to be cheap in the past but spent some money on about four guys, two wide receivers, an edge rusher, a guy rushes the quarterback, and the quarterback. So we'll see what happens with the Burrow thing and if this is just temporary. But if it was temporary, you would probably snap out of it quickly. You wouldn't want that out there because if he goes back and views himself, he's going to look at it and say, damn, that wasn't a good look, at least for me as my teammates, because at that position in leadership, you have to be aware of who's watching. Will Jalen Hurts, JB, be the reason the Philadelphia Eagles do not either don't make the playoffs or when they get in will be an easy elimination?
Oh, yeah. They win in spite of him. They always have. And I like Jalen. I think he's a great it factor kid and all that stuff. I just don't think he's very good. I just, for whatever's missing, he just doesn't process it very well at all. I hate to use that term because it seems so cliche now. And now you associate race and all this stuff when you talk about any other quarterbacks. Listen, he doesn't process it well. He doesn't go from one to two to three. He doesn't understand it. I'm watching him particularly, been watching him for a long time. He struggles. He's an ad-lib quarterback waiting to happen because he can't hit his fifth and throw it for whatever reason. And so it is what it is at this point. And now it's starting to hurt them because Lane Johnson's out. They're under 500 when he's not in. You haven't had the same Saquon Barkley, who looks very old now all of a sudden. That's why backs are a premium, and they can go and come and go so quickly, the shortest-lived position in football. And then you have two wideouts out here that you can't get the ball to consistently, and who there over there is wideouts do, prima donnas, bitching and moaning and sucking their teeth. So now you have all this permeating throughout the locker room, Sean. How long can you continue this without it affecting you at some point? You got to suit Super Bowls. You won one. But we also saw Doug Peterson get fired after winning a Super Bowl in Philly, in that crazy, batshit, crazy town as far as Philly fanatics, right? We love them and we hate them. That's how you got to look at it when you're in Philly. And you got to appreciate the fan support, and then you hate when you're losing and you're going through all this. But they win in spite of Jalen, not because of him. And it's been clear. Yeah, he had a 300-yard game in the Super Bowl. But look at the game and watch the game as I do, just like Mahomes never threw for 300 yards until the last Super Bowl. So, like, I'm just trying to figure out. We got context does matter. And at the end of the day, they're not as good on D, and they're not as good up front on the O-line because they've lost a lot in injury-wise and been injury-riddled. And now it's showing. And also, in fairness, Sean, you and I hit this on the nail head a lot of times. He's also unfair to have six offensive damn coordinators, and he's the only guy that's had to deal with that on a winning organization. So Sirianni should get more credit, in my opinion, not less, because he goes through so many coordinators, and at some point, I don't care what you run, it's still a different voice, and that matters. And so I think Jalen's under the A-ball on that part of it. But again, at the same time, he's not elite. He's not at the elite level. I don't even know if he's in my top 15 discussion, but he is a great system guy for that team. But there's a lot of those guys I can put in there. I'm beyond. I mean, you can go down the list. Put Lamar there. Put Josh Allen there. Put Herbert there. There's a lot of guys I'd put in there. Put Stafford there. I bet you if you flip Stafford and Hurts, you got what you got.
Well, if you flip Stafford and Hurts, the Rams will be an easier elimination than the Philadelphia Eagles are the Super Bowl favorite. JB, when you first saw, and what do you expect, when you saw Phillip Rivers coming back, just the emotion, tell me what went through your mind the second you saw it come across, and what do you think's going to happen?
Fuck, can I get a call? I mean, fuck, he's only five years younger than me. I mean, goddamn, he looks like me out there right now playing with the dogs. Like, I don't know. I got cringe vibes. I'm shocked.
He couldn't move when he played. What are they going to do? He ain't moving off a hula hoop in the pocket, brother. There ain't nowhere he's going. I love his competitiveness, but what chance do they have to actually be successful with him? Other than the mental side of knowing where to throw it, the question is, can he get it there?
Here's the issue. Is it a worse look on the organization or Phillip Rivers?
Well, it's a worse look on quarterbacks, period, number one.
Oh,
because the indictment 5 years, that's one. You start to wonder, well, you got to be able to scout somebody a little better that can hold it down. That's got some veteran that's seen a system like this. I just think it's familiarity, and they're scared to death that somebody can't come in and know where to throw it. This is all a mental move. This has nothing to do with his physical skills either way. Because in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt, working out for you to sign you is one thing. And in this gear, it's another. Four hits later, then come see me. Talk to me next week if the guy plays this week and comes in. I love his competitiveness. But you know, JB, being out of it 1 year is one thing. 2 years, you start to look around. 5 years? What do we really expect? And on his last year in the league, he was having trouble making throws that were pushed down the field a little bit. So you're going to go with horizontal football the whole time unless it's a completely clean pocket, right? I mean, you are going to have to compress this so much because he's no threat to run like Daniel Jones was.
No, and that's not Steichen's system. Steichen's not a sit back and throw. He would have rather. I thought Riley Leonard, who I think hopefully will start this week, and we'll get to see what he can do because I thought he was pretty good for the NFL. Not in college, of course. He wasn't a freak of nature, but he is more like Danny Dimes. He is more. You can run the football with plus one with Riley Leonard. Here's the thing. This is not a normal Steichen system now with him sitting back there who's not going to run whatsoever. And now that's going to really make it hard on Pierce and Pittman at wideout when you're going to get, you know, zone drop, fire zone, dog zone. You're going to get all this shit out there dropping out in coverage because he's not a threat whatsoever.
It's also going to be a trouble on the running game because if I'm playing against the Colts, I'm squeezing you and forcing you to push the ball down the field and prove to me you can do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to force his ass off his spot on a regular basis as often as I can, JB, aren't you, with inside pressure?
And this is just a bad, bad sign that what I've been saying for 4 years, NFL quarterback play is at all-time low. It's been that way for a while. It's just now showing because I can't go anywhere and get a younger kid than this. There's no one in the NFL that's a backup that I would try to get and do something for. There's nobody sitting out there that played just last year like a Matt Ryan who several years ago.
Would you have signed Cam Newton? Would you have rather had Cam Newton?
No.
Why?
Well, than him?
Yeah, of those two.
Probably Cam, but I wouldn't take either one of them because Cam's been doing other shit. He's not serious no more. I couldn't take him out of – that's like taking me and you out of this space and hiring us with the goddamn 49ers right now. They're nobody's going to take us serious because we've been doing this thing. So, like, who's going to take Cam Newton serious for doing what he's doing right now and put him in a game? I don't know. My point is, where are the guys – that basically, you know, still floating around. Like,
we used to have that. What's going on that can get you by, right?
We used to have that. Didn't we used to have that? Like, guys floating around like, oh, man, we can grab him. He's just been a year out. He's only 33, 34. This guy's 44 years old. Like, what are we doing? Is this hitting me with this? Like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. I look at it like this, JB. If you're not going to bring him back at 5-20, if you were 4 wins, why are you bringing him back if you're in playoff position? Aren't you shrinking your opportunity down? The truth is you probably got to go with if Riley Leonard plays decent, then he's nothing more than a security blanket. But if you're Phillip Rivers, do you really want to come back and be a security blanket for
You got to play him, right?
I would think if he can handle time. It.
So. Have you seen their schedule?
Oh, yeah. I have.
Fucking the Jets and the goddamn, you know, they're not playing.
playing 6th grade Swickley, Pennsylvania Junior High. You ain't lying, brother.
Cardinals every week. They're playing they're playing a hell of a schedule. Niners, fuck Jacksonville again. I mean, all teams with defense, by the way. I think the Texans too, I think. Are you kidding me? This guy's a sitting duck, man.
Longest yard 3 on our way, and he's going to be the reason. Like, here's what not to do when you do it. From high school coach, I love him, but damn, this is a major, major reach. All right, finally, JB, take the Rams out of it. I know your affinity for them, and I think we're on the same page. To me, they're as complete and as good as there is in a league. I want you to remove them for a second. Now, I got $25,000 right now, and you have to pick the two teams that you think would be in the Super Bowl. Sans, leave the Rams out. Give me an AFC and NFC team. Not three of them. I want one of each, and all your money's riding on it. Who are you betting it on right now?
As much as I like the Texans in the AFC right now, I think they have the best defense in football, no question about it.
Their offense doesn't give you – it doesn't tell you they're going to get there, right, JB?
No. I would have them third right now behind New England and Denver. Unfortunately, Denver doesn't give me the same thing on offense either, and I'm not Bo Nix believer just yet, but that defense travels in Denver as well, and I like Sean Payton a little bit more because of experience. I'm getting a little bit over the hump over a Texans team right now that offensively – struggles too much for me.
Your defense is filthy, though, JB. You're right. It'll keep them in every game. There's no doubt.
They'll be in every game.
So judging from that, you're saying New England, correct?
I would probably, as much as it's crazy. I'm not totally believer on the.
You don't think there's that many good teams in the AFC is what you're trying to tell me.
No, the AFC is
not
good.
If you can't find one, you're the Indianapolis Colts of the Phillip Rivers, that they're having trouble picking a quarterback, they go get a 44-year-old guy. You literally, and I mean this affectionately towards you, that's an indictment also on the AFC, that you really don't think there's a legitimate team. You think NFC's dominant in this more so than the AFC. So who would the NFC team be if it's not the Rams?
Seattle.
So who wins between Seattle and New England in a Super Bowl right now?
Right now, today, probably New England. That's what's crazy.
Other than the Rams, brother, there ain't no overwhelming endorsement from you. I'm just telling. No. If they're watching, they're saying, damn, it's a one-team or bust right now. That's how you feel. The Rams are, yeah.
It's crazy that the NFL power rankings came out and the Rams are like fourth or fifth behind Seattle.
They were fourth. They were
behind
fourth,
Seattle, who they beat. Didn't they beat Seattle and they're in first place? Like, what are we doing here with this power ranking shit? Is unbelievable. They have the best quarterback in football, two of the best wideouts in football, a great young running back tandem, by the way. And
their defense is good. Their front
their
seven
D-line. Them and Denver's D-line, in my opinion, as far as getting to the queue, are the two best. And I don't know, man. Maybe a couple of guys go get a safety or something late, like they did with Eric Weddle, our good friend, to win a Super Bowl a few years back, get him out of retirement. Other than that, Sean, I'm not sold on Philly. The Vikings and Detroit are out to me. Chicago, to me, again, Caleb Williams is not the guy to me. I think they win in spite of him as well. I Ben Johnson did a hell of a job. I don't know if there's a team out there, man, that I'm just that you're really like sold on. Are you? I mean, Green Bay.
Isn't that hard to believe? On Sundays you wake up and you're trying to find somebody that gets you to the point where you're like, outside the Rams, I love this team, and you don't.
And there's no guarantee for the Rams. You know, bad day by Stafford, and you got a loss. I mean, that's just how close it is. Green Bay's really good, I think, and talented, and wide out, but I'm not sold on Love. He's inconsistent as well when the lights shine brightest. MCDC out in Detroit needs to figure out and hire an OC and let it go. We've seen the experiment. I get it. I love that you took it over and you want to make sure that you're the head guy. You're going to take the responsibility and be accountable, but it's hurting your team. I'm just going to be honest watching this. You need to be more of a hands-on CEO. You can't do it right now. You got too much special teams and defense to worry about with a young coordinator on both sides. You had to take it over. I get it, but they don't look good on offense at all. Since that first game, which was anomaly, they played a shitty defense. They haven't done anything on offense. Last week, they got going and got Amon St. Brown the ball, but they're in a rut. They're in a rut offensively, so I don't know what Detroit's going to do. They're probably third-best team in the division right now, Sean. So other than that, I mean, in the AFC, you got Jacksonville, Houston. If the Colts can do anything on offense and stay afloat, they're still right now in the mix. You got Denver and New England. The Chargers, I would say, would have a better opportunity than any of them if I knew Herbert was healthy and they didn't lose both offensive tackles. So,
but everybody has some glaring weaknesses, at least either personnel or performance. Yeah. I'll let you go on this, JB. If you made that bet to me, I don't know if I could choose. I'd take whatever the alternative was. I don't know if I could put $25,000 down on an AFC team right now because I don't think we have a great AFC team. I think there's some good ones. I think the Rams sit at the top, and you're right, one bad game. But we don't have that team that can overcome a bad day by Josh Allen and still go win if the other team's playing decent.
I'm not sold on Buffalo at all. I like Buffalo and Josh Allen. He's Superman, got to play like Superman every day.
Yeah, every day, right. Every snap, every play, all the time. So great stuff, JB, man. It's well, we walk out of this knowing this. You just went all Joe Burrow on us, JB. We don't love any quarterbacks. The quarterback you did love, now you can't trust him mentally because you're like, what happened? And we don't have any great teams. Even the Rams may be great for you. But other than that, there's 31 others that are like, what the hell? So thanks for screwing up our week, JB. And now I have the motivation is when's the PGA Tour and we get Pat Perez back on here and start talking and golf and talking about the College National Championship. We'll get to all of it. Great stuff. Obviously, the Sharon Moore stuff we'll continue to watch as well as hopefully we won't need a good supply of body bags for Phillip Rivers this weekend. Let's hope that he's okay.
Hey, let me ask you something. As I leave, you're a betting man. If I were to say you can only do one or the other, hire immediately to try to save your current roster in Michigan, or you wait it out and hire the best hire, regardless of when you hire. Because there's two philosophies right now. you know, all these guys that are out there that are Michigan guys are like, we got to hire a guy tonight and blah, 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 blah. We're going to lose our roster. Listen, per the rules, these kids can now transfer because a head coaching change was made. They can leave. There's also a one-time portal opening in January. Guess what? If I hire Sean Salisbury and the current roster doesn't like Sean Salisbury, they can also leave. They have a release by law, by on the current NCAA guidelines. They can leave. So, in essence, Michigan gets two portal openings and by the time they hire a new coach. So that coach needs to retain a $3 to $5 million QB they just paid and keep the current roster, or there could be a mass exodus here, and this is only going to get worse from here. So I'm on the ladder. I say you make sure that you understand this is a loss. We have lost. This year's done. I need to hire a guy that's going to get me over the hump for the next 10 years and make the right hire, not a quick hire, just to try to keep one guy.
Yeah, JB, as we go, I'll just say this. One is you're at the point there's so much damage done, it may not matter who you hire quickly. The guys are going to leave anyway, especially if they were Sharon Moore, that was their guy.
They're all gone anyway, Sean. They're gone.
That's the point. Two is we're not the best team in this conference. We're not even right now. There's a distance between us and a couple other teams in this conference. So if it's me, I'm hiring the best. If I got to wait 2 weeks and risk it, the same thing that made you had guys go, bring in a guy, may get guys to transfer back to you from somewhere else. So I'm hiring the best one and possibly taking my medicine for 2026, hoping that new coach gives us some hope and that we're elevating. But I'm not making a knee-jerk hire right now. There's too much going on. You got to also show that you care about the current situation. There's got to be compassion with that within the university, and then move on. You can't just hire a coach that takes some spotlight off that to hire Michigan. Because if you hire them that quickly, you're not going to get the best one. You're just not. You got to go do your due diligence. It takes a minute. Just don't make it take as long as Penn State did. JB, great stuff, brother. I know I kept you longer, but there's so much going on. I needed to keep you. And, well, I guess Joe Burrow's off your Christmas list. I love you, brother. I'll look forward to talking to you on Monday, man. Great stuff.
All right, brother.
Great stuff. There you go. Appreciate it. Bring Segs back in. Segs, a long time. So much to talk about with JB. You'll have a lot to say about the Michigan coaching situation. That's your guys. But before we get to that, I knew JB. I know JB's affinity for Joe Burrow. It takes a lot for a guy that JB loves for you, even if it was a couple picks. He'd have handled three picks, three games in a row more. JB would have given Joe Burrow more of a hall pass than the depression down post. Even if it's just temporary, the look bothers JB, and I get it. I don't think I'd ever saw that from Joe Burrow. So I understand where JB's coming from. Does it change your perception of the player or just the overall organization and Joe Burrow's approach in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think it does change my perception of the player a bit. But, and, you know, as you asked him, does this feel a little Andrew Luck vibe-ish? And yes, 100% it does. I mean, this is a guy, I saw this from Dan Orlovsky just a minute ago. His offensive line ranks in pass protection win rates during his career. 2020, they were 29th. 2021, they were 30th. 2022, they were 30th. 2023, 27th. 2024, worst team in football at 32. 2025, 28th. And then if you put the whole group together as his entire career, they are the worst offensive line in win rate in his career. I mean, that's inexcusable from the Cincinnati Bengals standpoint. I don't care how many GMs you've had. You are not hiring the right guys if your number one priority is not protecting Joe Burrow.
You mean you're $70 million a year, $60 million yes. a year guy? No doubt. No doubt.
You saw Caleb Williams take, what, 70 sacks last year in his rookie year and struggle. And Matt Eberflus clearly did not put enough emphasis on protecting Caleb Williams. Here comes Ben Johnson. What do? They immediately go sign Drew Dahlman. They trade for Joe Tooney and they trade for Jonah Jackson. And they had drafted Darnell Wright, who is a very good right tackle. And then you're filling your left tackle spot with what you think Ozzie Trapillo is a second round pick. They spent capital and money to protect what they feel like is their franchise quarterback. Joe Burrow's been in the league, what, 7 years? And they still haven't done it. So I get why he's like that. And it wouldn't shock me, and I wouldn't put it, I wouldn't hold it against Joe Burrow if he came out and said, I want to trade. I want traded. Get me out. Now, it could get worse. You can go to the Raiders where they don't protect. You can go to the Jets where they don't protect. So, I mean, it could be bad still, but he has to do something because the Bengals clearly are not prioritizing his protection.
Or you could go to the Colts and be the full-timer. Just a hunch, but just for fun.
I mean, it's a bad situation all around there in Cincinnati because we know how good they can be when Joe Burrow's healthy.
Well, and it's a lot of the reason we know how good they can be because Joe Burrow's really can be good, okay?
Yes.
He's good. Here's the way I feel about
this. The best.
The position. No question. And it's simple. Do I understand 100% how pathetic and putrid they are at protecting the quarterback and getting off the field defensively? Whether you like it or not, the overall, there's good players. The overall sum is nowhere near just the parts. They blow, okay?
Right.
They just do. You say what you want. It as a production overall as a team, it's rare the Cincinnati Bengals are doing three phases of the game and individually dominating at each position on a regular basis, hence the record. And when Burrow's out there, are just completely different. Sorry, Joe Flacco. Sorry, Browning. They're just different, okay? He's a unique talent and as good a pocket passer as we have in the league since the guy wore number 12 in New England from the pocket. Now, and he's a good escape guy. The injuries and all that. Listen, we crush guys in other sports, Trout and all that, for missing a lot. And it's unfortunate. It's not like Joe's lingering with a hangnail. He's come back sooner from his toe and all that. I get it. But you will start to get people saying, well, if you can't stay healthy, what's that saying? Availability is the best ability. So they'll get that. I don't track the question as toughness and taking hits or any of that. But here's the thing. While I do get it, and if he requested a trade, Segs, we're at a time. Requesting trades is commonplace now. We shouldn't even be mad because player empowerment works. Now, whether you decide to trade him or not, it's up to you. But if you're not going to build, then go get five bodies for him and keep it moving. If you're not going to start to get the players around that give you – you can't just win with a receiver and a quarterback, a couple receivers and a quarterback, throwing it all over the lot because eventually he's going to be playing from his ass or hurt. And we've seen that movie. We've seen it in Super Bowls, and we've seen it during the regular season. But here's the other thing. Segs, there's an extra responsibility that goes with that position. And I think most of us look at Burrow as he's always got it under control, that there's nothing vulnerable about him as a player. So I do get the vulnerability when he's sitting home with his buddies or his girl at home or talking away. That I get it. We all have it. We got to empty the bucket somehow because it's real. But the other side of it is, he's usually been good. Now, he beats to a different drum on the way the way he approaches press conferences. Even when he's happy, he's different. You know what I'm saying? He's just got a different.
He's low-key.
The decibel level. He looks like he talks as if he's been surfing in California while he's kicking your ass on a football field.
Right.
But you do have to be cognizant, Segs, when it hits as deep as it apparently hits him, judging from his answers and what he said to the media. You do have to be aware of what's going on around you. Because in truth, when we say, hey, man, you know, why bitch? Nobody's paying attention. We are because it's Joe Burrow. But he does have to be cognizant of the guys around him. Yet, Segs, in that locker room, there may be 52 other cats that feel the exact same way he does because of the what we've seen evidence-wise from the organization. So I get his frustration, but he does have to be very cognizant because we are going to look at Joe Burrow different than if it was a right guard saying it. We just are because of the position he plays. And you will get questions like JB had over, well, he's not as tough as I thought he was. That's for each individual to decide, but I wouldn't be shocked if Joe Burrow goes out and kicks ass again this week. Would you? No. I mean, I wouldn't. The question is moving forward, if you're the Cincinnati Bengals, if this is where you are and he wants out, you better get it while the getting's good because you can get a haul for him because even the greatness of Joe Burrow is not going to be good enough to tackle people on defense and to block people on offense. We can move on.
100%. Tomorrow we'll come in. We'll talk more about Michigan, maybe the coaching search. We'll concentrate on that aspect of, you know, who makes sense, what names should they look at, who they should go after. So we'll talk about that tomorrow leading off the show, unless we have more breaking news of this level of magnitude. But let's jump to another college football topic. Notre Dame. We talked yesterday about their memorandum of understanding that they have with college football or with the college football playoff committee, that if they're in the top 12, if they are ranked 12th or better, they're automatically in the college football playoff.
You mean the goalpost move we put on?
Yes.
You mean that goalpost? Gotcha.
It's an automatic bid of, you know, you don't have to win a conference. You don't have to, you know, finish maybe in the top 9 or 8 to get in, depending on which conference champions are in. So now we have multiple ADs across the country who are speaking to each other about freezing out Notre Dame, not playing them. And I understand it. I really do, because it goes back to the, you're not sitting in a conference, you know, you're playing by a different set of rules. Now you get this, which is, I mean, there's no other way to say it, but it's preferential treatment because you're not in a conference. Because if they were in a conference, this wouldn't happen. So the fact that you already don't have to go win. Now, yeah, you don't get that chance to win a conference because you're not in one and there's 5 automatic bids. But you don't have to play that extra game no matter what. We know Notre Dame will never play on championship weekend, conference championship weekend, because they're not in a conference. That takes away a game where we were saying possibly Alabama lost an extra game, and we were saying they probably should have been left out.
BYU did get punished.
Lost again. They did get punished and knocked out. So it is a different set of rules. So what do you make of ADs basically saying, like, we're going to freeze Notre Dame out with this kind of shit that you guys are pulling with the committee?
I 100% get it and don't blame them. And this has come from a non-Notre Dame hater. I'm not the guy who stands on high and bashes Notre Dame just because they do get preferential treatment. Listen, we always talk about analytics in sports. What is analytics? It's evidence.
Yes.
The analytics are on that card is evidence that 8 million times this guy walks with 2 strikes or more when you throw the ball up. So you want a high fastball pitcher, then the hitter that goes in there, lay off it. The analytics are real, no matter what. It's evidence. The evidence is Notre Dame, whether you like it or not, I'm not a Notre Dame hater, gets preferential treatment. And they have always dictated the flow in what they do. It's great to have that kind of power, Segs. You know what I mean? If 3% of the people are making 97% of the money, those 3% of the people run the show. Notre Dame's been able to dictate their flow there forever. And people have almost been afraid to challenge that, the higher-ups, because it's Notre Dame. It's a blue blood. They pull a lot of weight. They travel well. They get their own TV now. I mean, the whole thing when it came to, you know, what was NBC and Notre Dame, right? Segs in the past, that they don't have to go on you. That NBC is getting all that stuff.
Right.
And out of a conference, and yet they still get to do stuff. They never get punished by not playing a championship game. And quite frankly, they probably get enhanced because they're Notre Dame. That you'll give them credit for kicking Sam Houston State's ass. And they didn't play Sam Houston, but you get my point. More than you'll give somebody credit. Matter of fact, Notre Dame wins, they get more credit than when somebody beats them and they still don't jump them. Do you get what I'm saying? Say you can play a tougher opponent and somehow Notre Dame's going to get credit. Oh, they beat this Sam Houston by 4 touchdowns, or they beat Slippery Rock by 3 touchdowns. Well, we beat Slippery Rock by 5 touchdowns. It's okay. Notre Dame beat them by 3 and their starting running back was playing at 80%. You're finding a reason to do that. And if I'm you know what the whole thing of this is, all I want from this is to force Notre Dame to get into a conference. That's it. I don't hate Notre Dame. I love watching them. I love our rivalry at Southern Cal with them. I love my recruiting trip. I love the head coach. Hell, some of my best friends in the world, from Golic and the rest. Love them. But I can tell you this. You can't just listen. Private schools get a little preferential treatment at every level, Segs. They just do. And people with more money get a little preferential treatment. So a superstar is going to get more preferential treatment than the non-star. Notre Dame's a superstar in the big landscape. They get preferential treatment. The problem is, through the preferential treatment, until what happened in this playoff happened, they've always got the benefit of the doubt for the most part. This one, they didn't. And the athletic director keeps making it worse by digging a deeper hole and overloading his mouth with his ass. I get why he's protecting his university. And it's just this silly for him to think that the ACC did him wrong. You're not in the ACC as a football team. Sorry, I'm protecting the ones that are first. You want to come on in? We'll have a conversation. But right now, when it comes to scheduling, and I'm going to tell you what, if you ever get him into a conference, you better make it difficult on them too. So the whole thing I think we all hope for is put you on the even playing field where you've got to play in a conference and play the same schedule the rest of the world does.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So it'll be interesting.
And you're going to lose your head coach if you're not careful.
Right.
You're going to, I mean, I love Coach Freeman, but there's going to be a high demand for him on a lot of levels. Hell, if you're Michigan, I'd call there too.
Yes.
I don't know if you'd leave Notre Dame for Michigan, but I can tell you now, just like I didn't know if you'd ever leave LSU or leave Notre Dame for LSU, Brian Kelly. And I don't know. It depends, I guess, where you stand with that. But Coach Freeman is going to have NFL offers out his backside if he wants them. So you better get that in line too. So there's a lot going on at Notre Dame, not the least of which is they're not playing in a bowl game because they walked away from that. And they missed out and were jumped, which Segs, like I told you, I would have never thought they were going to get jumped because it was Notre Dame. And they're a good team and playing good football. But when you look at it, BYU got hosed. When you look at who they beat, BYU where their power is and the ratings and all that. But truth of the matter is that Notre Dame probably would have made a difference in the playoff. But if you were in a conference, you wouldn't have had to go through what you had to go through.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if we have any teams start dropping Notre Dame from their schedule. Because I think if it does start to happen, and I'm not talking like tomorrow or next week, it could happen over the next couple months. But if we start seeing teams drop, you know, I think they're supposed to play Texas again at some point. They have Michigan coming
up. We'll know the freeze out is there, Segs.
Yes, we will know.
Is this Michael Jordan at the All-Star game, Segs, with Isaiah Thomas in the group, put the freeze out on a guy that's so good and popular? And Mike, you're right. Notre Dame is exactly, that's it. People love them, people hate them. The Cowboys in the NFL, people love them, people hate them. That's exactly who they are.
And neither
kind of like the Lakers, kind of like, I mean, you got to win. That they are Notre Dame, and both of them, it's been a minute since they've won a national championship and a Super Bowl. Although Notre Dame was as recent as last year.
Yes, Notre Dame and the Cowboys are also similar in the fact they haven't won for 30-plus years.
That's what I said. And Notre Dame hasn't won. They were in one, which gives more than the Cowboys, because the Cowboys haven't sniffed media week unless they're in the media at the Super Bowl week. They haven't missed media. They haven't sniffed media row as a team since the mid-90s.
Real quick, looking ahead to tonight, we got Thursday Night Football. We got Falcons at Bucks. This is a big game for the Bucks. They're tied in the division, at the top of the division, with the Carolina Panthers. And I think that really tells you, you know, and the Carolina Panthers play the Saints this week.
Saints. And so the Saints are playing better football, and they're kind of letting it rip. And Tyler Shook's playing pretty damn good football as the starter.
But if you go out here and you lose to the Falcons and then they turn around and beat the Saints, you're down in the division after, you know, all the praise we gave this team for the first 5-6 weeks of the season, and Baker is MVP and all this stuff. Looking at this game, what's the biggest thing the Bucs have to do, not only this game, just down the stretch, to get themselves into the playoffs and at least have a shot to compete in the playoffs?
Well, Shags, I don't think you're ever going to see it look pretty anymore this year for Tampa. I don't think, you know, with the injuries at wide receiver, you know, trying to get guys and Mike Evans on the, all those things. What I noticed about them early when they were winning: physical inside pound you run, believability that a close game you were winning, they went hand in hand, and the play action in Baker was alive and well. There was I know it sounds crazy, but I no longer believe that Tampa can just go in and curb stomp Atlanta. When they were going good, I said, they'll find a way to get it done. The quarterback's really good, but they haven't played like they're used to. The offense has been on a roller coaster for a lot since they've started the up and down. And I'm missing the physicality that I am used to seeing from them. You know, they're not going to be as physical as a Philadelphia Eagles team, but they have, base it on play action, run the ball, play action. They've got to get the consistent big play back in their offense. On the other side of it, you lose this game to Atlanta, you want to talk about the confidence meter going to hell in a handbasket. You can, and you're coming off a loss to a team that may be picking in the top three in the New Orleans Saints. So if they're, put it this way, this will tell you a lot about them. If there's no fire in their belly this week, Segs, they're just not very good. And they had us fool's gold. Major fool's gold if they come out and urinate down their leg in this one. I would expect more, because I do trust Baker Mayfield. But there's been something missing from the big playoff play action and the physicality that they were playing with. And I know they believe they were winning every game that was close. Now they're not quite doing that, Sigs. They're leaving some stuff on the table, which is something they can't do. They're chaotic and erratic right now, and that's got to fix. That's got to get fixed. But I like them in this game, Sigs. What's the spread in this game, Sigs? Your mic's muted or off.
Oh, we sorry. I muted because I had a cough. Falcons at Bucks. Bucks minus 5.5 with a 43.5 over.
I'm expecting. I don't expect a lot of points, but I would think that the Bucks can win this game by a touchdown. Now, Kirk Cousins, how the offense goes, and if you're the Bucks, what are you doing? If you're Todd Bowles, you would like to keep them one dimensional and not let Bijan take over the game, right? Because he's an explosive player. I like Tampa in the game because they're still in the hunt for this. And Carolina's playing some really good, confident football right now. So they're going to need this win against Atlanta at home. And at home, you got to defend your honor, man. You got to take care of your business.
You have to. So, yeah, I like Tampa Bay. And I like Must the win. Over. Yep. I like the over at 43.
Yeah, I think Atlanta can score 3 or 4 times on them. And if they do, this may end up being one of those 27-24 type games, although – I think it's going to be a little more distance between them, 28-20, that kind of game for me, Seg. So I don't think there's going to be – I guess that is a lot of points in the NFL, so probably the over is right because I don't think either defense is dominant. I think there's enough big plays that can happen, but it's going to have to come off some play action for Tampa tonight.
One thing we do have to monitor before we get out of there, Adam Schefter reports that T.J. Watt was hospitalized, getting his lungs checked or his lung checked out. So he is currently in the hospital. And then he had another tweet that said it happened during treatment yesterday at the facility. So
is this a collapse type of lung or something? One lung, right? Segs?
One lung is the way they say just his lung. So,
that's scary. That's nothing to mess with there, man.
And when it goes with treatment, that means it feels like someone might've screwed up and did something they probably shouldn't have done. Cause you don't just getting treatment, then all of a sudden just be like, oh, my lung, like, it's so feels like something may have happened there with the training staff of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if he's not able to play Monday night, and you know, I'm kind of blanking on who they're playing Monday night, it is the Dolphins. That's right. If they don't have him,
and Dolphins are playing really good football right now.
Yes. This is, you know, two teams, you know, Steelers are still trying to win that division with Mike Tomlin at the helm, and the Dolphins are trying to make this late season surge with Mike McDaniel and just kind of coming out of nowhere, and still no one's really talking about them, but there they are. And you need TJ Watt in his best shape that he can be this late in the season, and being in the hospital to do something with his lung because of something with treatment is not very good for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Segs, let me give you one before we go, just to tease for tomorrow. I would have loved to. I'm trying to add a little light to this situation, even though it's been a downer on the Burrow stuff and the Sharon Moore and Michigan and the possible pregnancy / abortion and knives and suicide talk, all that. It sucks. And there'll be enough piling on, but we'll get more to it and it's not a good week for Michigan and Sharon Moore. We know that. Everybody involved. And let's not. And how about the family? And how about not just the family, Sigs, but the wife, the female.
Three daughters.
Right. It's just the dad, the pops, his daughter is working there. I mean, it just sucks. So, but we'll get more about that. What if Kalen DeBoer got let go by Alabama? What if? Remember we talked about this when Lane took the LSU job? I said, there's one job that if LSU and Alabama would have came with the same offer at the same time, guess what happens? In my opinion, Lane Kiffin's the coach at Alabama, not at LSU. Now, just for fun to mull overnight so you can give me some fun talk tomorrow. Kalen DeBoer, they move on from him. He takes the Michigan job because he's a good football coach. And then all of a sudden, Alabama says, well, Dabo doesn't want to come, or keep an eye on that if that were to happen.
Yeah.
Dabo's going to stay at Clemson. Well, damn. Before he's coached a game, what about the guy over at LSU who's been there? What's the buyout? I don't know, $8 billion? Man, what if we could talk him into coming to Alabama? I know it's crazy, but wouldn't it make for some fun fodder?
Oh, it would make.
I've seen a lot of shit happen in college sports. just the entertainment value alone of the talk. I don't want Kalen DeBoer to get fired. I don't wish that on anybody. He'd get a job anyway, but, and I don't think Alabama's moving on from him yet. But if they did, put it this way. Let me ask you this. What if Lane hadn't made that decision yet and neither had LSU? And the Michigan thing came open. Michigan would obviously offer him a gig, I would think. Would Alabama nudge somebody out to have gone and got him?
Possibly.
Being the fact that three losses, they're still in the playoff, but if Alabama, and they got curb stomped, even though they beat Georgia once, they got beaten that game in the SEC championship. Would Lane Kiffin have forced Alabama's hand? Hold that thought till tomorrow.
Possibly.
I just want our listen. I want to think about it. Would we have seen something different at LSU and at Alabama if Lane was still said, I'm going to coach through it. LSU can either wait on me or not, and we'll discuss this. We're going to wait. And LSU says, yes, we'll wait. And Alabama's in, but with three losses. Would Alabama's hand been forced to go after Lane Kiffin to say, oh, we got to go get this guy? Give that some thought for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And yet the Michigan job is going to be open, and we'll see where they go.
I still say, just keep a tight grip on your boy down there in L.A.
You notice I didn't mention Lincoln Riley once in that just in that conversation I just did. Why would I leave there to go into that? Why would I leave SC to go to Michigan? It's warmer where I'm from.
I still think that I think Ward Manuel, the AD, is going to be out here very soon. I think that does happen. I think he's fired, and that kind of slows some things down when it comes to the Michigan job. So
this is a New Year's. But this is a January decision.
This is going to be. I mean, and plenty of people have said it. I just saw Pete Thamel say it. I think with Rich Eisen. I think he was on. This is
Rich
going
is
to
a
be
big Michigan
a
guy,
major name. This ain't going to be just Sherrone Moore level coach. Now, major can come in different levels, I think, and we'll talk about that tomorrow, the list of guys in college football and outside of college football that I think could be on this list and guys that make sense to either ties or are just really good football coaches.
Do you guys have to have a Michigan man? Do you need a Michigan man, that talk we always hear?
No.
Outside the program, right?
Obviously. Yeah, I mean, it could definitely come from – don't be surprised if Kalen DeBoer wanted the job when Jim Harbaugh left. He lobbied for it, and he's a West guy, coached at Eastern Michigan, knows that area very well.
What about this? You think Lincoln Riley to Michigan. Does that mean Urban Meyer to USC? Now, the real killer would be if you guys snatched Urban Meyer and hired him at Michigan.
Well, that
Ohio, that would be even more than the Lane Kiffin setting it on fire.
If college football just wants to watch everything burn, just chaos everywhere. Michigan go hire Urban Meyer and just.
Well, you could do a lot worse in the win loss column.
Oh shit!
I'll just throw my papers up in the air and say I've seen it all.
Yeah,
I've seen it all.
100%.
Now I can see him taking SC's job if Lincoln did leave.
I can see that for sure.
I just wonder if he would think it's blasphemous to take the Michigan job that he just couldn't do it. But then again. 100 million plus talks, brother, and the fact that you got an opportunity, who knows? But the carousel is going to look weird regardless when Michigan hires, because they're going to get somebody, and if it's a big name, then we can all start to speculate on that.
Yeah. So
the guy the guy sitting on the College Game Day set is not taking the Michigan job.
No, he's not.
He ain't going there.
Yeah. There you go. It's just he's done with football, I believe. He likes his gig. Just getting to be able to talk football and just sit there. All right. But yeah, we'll each have a list of guys that we think make sense from each level of coaching to coach Michigan next year. We'll recap Thursday Night Football. We'll start to look ahead to Sunday with some big games.
I'm taking my Dave out of the Michigan running, Segs.
You are?
Know how guys will do that. You know how guys do that? Listen, I'm going to take my name out of the running. Yet I was 475,000th on the list. But I'm taking my name out, Segs, and you would have been my coordinator. I'm taking you out as well. So
I put my name in for the AD job now. I'll take
now
the
that
AD
I can job. Do. That yeah. that I can do. I would like that.
So, all right. Well, we'll see.
And I'm hiring Joe Pesci.
Sunday, we got a lot of football in Chicago for Bears Browns. supposed to be negative 20 at kickoff, or feels like negative 20 at kickoff. So
I've seen games like that. It's not fun. Meaning, been in them. Don't like.
Yeah, I've been, you know, spectator at games like that, and you couldn't pay me right
Hell
now.
Hell no, I'm not going to any game. It's that cold.
Yeah, that was when I was like
big RV bus, or I'm sitting at the crib. Yeah, okay, yep. No, so, unless I'm playing it, and I ain't showing up for it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks to Triple E, Laura Bailey, as always, behind the scenes. Please like and subscribe. Our YouTube channel is growing because of you guys. Make sure you like the video as you're watching along. Bailey said today that we hit our record viewer for you live viewers for YouTube. So keep joining, like the show, subscribe at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. You can find it on YouTube. You get all the notifications, and you get up more of this. More of,
yeah, and I just love the people. Baby. Yeah, we try to have a little more light to it, but when we got guys getting fired, JV mad at Joe Burrow, we gotta have the good with the bad. Tomorrow's even gonna be a better day, even though today was great, and we love having you guys part of the show.
Yes,
it makes it so much easier for us.
Yeah, so make sure you like and subscribe.
Don't take you for granted ever. That I promise. Yeah.
Yes, at Unpaved Sean Salisbury. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. As always, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Peace.
Unpaved Sean Salisbury here for bringing authentic, real stuff to you. Hardcore opinion.
Sean Salisbury, a great NFL analyst, a former NFL quarterback.